We are wrapping up our 21 days of prayer, talking about becoming people of prayer, expecting God to hear our prayers, being people of faith, seeing God move and work miracles. We started off talking about praying like Jesus, and then we talked about praying like Paul, and then last week, Pastor Jordan did a great job talking about praying like David, and today we're wrapping it up talking about praying like Elijah. And you may think, well, that's an interesting character to kind of highlight. We know from the scriptures that Elijah was a prophet of God. He prophesied to Israel and before the exile in around 870 BC. He was a person that God did tremendous miracles through him and in response to his prayers. If you remember some of the highlights from Elijah's life, he confronted the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18, and he had a contest to see whose God was really God, whether it was Baal or the Lord God, and the prophets of Baal prayed and nothing happened, and then Elijah stood up to pray and fire came down of heaven and consumed the altar, and people's hearts were turned back to worship God. Elijah came to a woman who was destitute and poor and only had just a little meal, flour and some oil, and he asked the woman to make him a cake from that and to make one for herself and one for her child. And because she honored God and put him first, Elijah prayed over her, and for the rest of her life, she always had meal and oil to make a meal for herself, and God supernaturally provided. Elijah prayed, and when he was hunted down, the king sent 50 troops to get him, and Elijah prayed, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the 50 troops. The king sent another 50 troops. Elijah prayed, and fire came down from heaven and consumed those. And I guess the king clued in at that point and said, Elijah can do whatever he wants. He just did these miraculous things. He's highlighted in the book of James. And that's why I wanted to focus on him, because Elijah's faith and prayer is used as an example for us to pray, for the church to pray, for elders to pray. And we're going to discover in this message that God is a God of miracles, and God wants to do miracles, and he's calling us to be people of prayer, to take the initiative, to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, to leave the results with him, but to believe that he can do things that are beyond what we could ever imagine. And Elijah and his prayer life is used as an example to motivate us to be people of prayer. So let me pray for our time in the Word. Lord, thank you for what you have to say in this passage. Thank you for how you put this message on my heart and it's revealed in Scripture. I pray that the Word of God would speak to every person here, that you'd help me deliver this message. And I pray that our faith quotient would rise, and that when we look at Elijah and we see what you did in and through him, it would motivate us and empower us to be people of prayer. But our focus would be on you, not on trying to be a certain prayer person, but to pray to the one who can do miracles. God, so speak to every person here, wherever we may be, and lead us to surrender wholeheartedly to Jesus. We want you to get all the glory, Jesus, and all the praise. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Elijah was a guy that God used to do miracles, and he used to pray miraculous prayers. So first of all, I want to look at the prayer of Elijah. In James chapter 5, it says this, James 5, 17 and 18. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So the specific prayer of Elijah that James focuses in on is this prayer where he prayed that the rain would stop. And miraculously, God answered that prayer. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain in Israel. And then he prayed again, and the heavens poured forth rain. To look at it a little more in its context, turn with me. You can see the scripture on the screen. 1 Kings 17, it says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook that I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So we're introduced to Elijah. It appears somewhat in midstream because God had called Elijah to prophesy against King Ahab. He was a wicked king. He was a king of Israel, but he was a wicked king, and Elijah had prophesied against him. And in this encounter where we're first introduced to Elijah, Elijah prophetically prays, it's going to stop raining, king, and that's a sign of judgment against you. And in response to his prayer, God answered it, and it stopped raining. Now, King Ahab wanted to hunt down Elijah, so God had Elijah go and hide in this ravine, and he supernaturally had ravens bring bread and meat for him, and he drank from the brook until the brook dried up, and the brook dried up because there was no rain. Now we fast forward to when Elijah prays that it would rain again. And in 1 Kings 18, this is right after the confrontation on Mount Carmel, where Elijah and the prophets of Baal duel it out, and Elijah wins, and God answers with fire from heaven. It says in 1 Kings 18:41, and Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot. Go down before the rain stops. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Then the power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. So the confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal takes place. Elijah wins. Ahab is intimidated, and Elijah says to Ahab, you need to go to Jezreel. And after he starts to take off, he looks out over the sea and he prays seven times, and then a small cloud begins to form outside the Mediterranean Sea, and as it came to the coast, it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then a heavy rain began to fall. And I love this little add-on, that Elijah takes his cloak and tucks it into his belt, and he outran Ahab to Jezreel. It was 31 miles from Mount Carmel to Jezreel. Ahab is in a chariot with a head start, and Elijah outruns him. So, I mean, I want to meet this guy in heaven. I'm going to tell you that. So Elijah prays again, and then it starts to rain. So this prayer of Elijah, praying that it would stop raining and then praying that it would rain, God answers supernaturally. It's a miraculous answer to prayer. And it serves a very important purpose in the book of James. Because in James chapter 5, James is talking about what we do as followers of Jesus when we gather together. And when we gather together, there are needs. And people are sick, and people are in trouble. And some people are happy, and some people are confused. And God cares about us, and he cares about what's happening in our lives, and he wants us to pray for one another, and he wants the elders to pray for people, and he wants us to have this expectation that he's actually here, that he hears our prayers, that he can do a miracle, that what is impossible with human beings, it's not impossible with God. He could actually heal us. So what God does is he gives inspired information to James to remember this story from 1 Kings and to incorporate it in his teaching and to say, hey, listen, God did this for Elijah and he could do it for us. God did this for Elijah and he could do it for us. So The second observation I have is that there's the example of Elijah. Now, listen to this passage again from James 5. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful. It's effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. The example of Elijah is used to motivate us to pray. The example of Elijah is used to empower us to pray. The example of Elijah is used to inspire us to believe, hey, God did a miracle for Elijah. He could do a miracle for me. Maybe he will. Maybe he will. I need to pray and ask God that God would do what only God can do. And I love what it's said here about Elijah, because it's really important. It says, Elijah was a human being even as we are. God is highlighting the fact that this prayer that was answered wasn't because of some super spirituality on Elijah's part. It wasn't answered because Elijah was in this high class of being a prophet. It wasn't answered because something about Elijah distinguished himself so much that God was obligated to answer his prayers. No, Elijah was just like us. I hear the words of my old football coach saying, you know, before we're going to play some opponent that was predicted to kill us, hey, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like us. Elijah put his cloak on just like us, one leg at a time. He was just a dude. The power was in God, not Elijah. The miracle was in God being a miracle-working God, not in Elijah praying miracle prayers. But if you want to see the miracle of God do a miracle, you got to pray miracle prayers. The example of Elijah is used in James' argument to say, hey, we can pray, and maybe God would do that for us. Now, when you look at the totality of Scripture and the totality of human experience and even your own experience, this is not, you know, some big confession. It's just reality. There's been no one who's ever lived other than Jesus whose every prayer was answered exactly the way they prayed it. Just let that set in. We're not talking about some formula here or some way to rub the magic lamp of prayer so that God, the genie, pops out and gives you every one of your wishes. God is sovereign. God determines what he will determine. And there's a lot of mystery about prayer and about faith and why some prayers are answered the way we pray them and some aren't answered at all and some are answered beyond what we even asked for. Mystery. But this passage is in the Bible. Elijah's example is in the Bible to motivate us to say, let's ask God for a miracle. Let's take the initiative and the power of the Holy Spirit and ask God for a miracle and then leave the results with God. James puts this example of Elijah in here so that we would say, God is in the miracle business. God can do what no human being can do. And the person who lives by faith, the person who has this big view of God, the person who will take God at his promise, the person who will seek the Lord and ask him for a miracle, just might see their prayer answered exactly the way they prayed it, or even beyond, because it says in Ephesians 3 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. Our problem is not that our prayers are too big for God. Let's just face it. Most of us need to up our game in trusting God and asking him for big things. And Elijah's example is put here in the Bible to motivate us. He was just like us, and he prayed, and the rain stopped. And then he prayed again, and it rained. And so James says, the fervent prayer of a righteous person, it accomplishes much. Look at Elijah. We could put our names in there, because he was a man just like us. We can come to God walking with God, confessing our sins, asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking to walk in the will of God, and ask God for the impossible, and guess what? He can do it. He can do it. So the example of Elijah is for us to look to Elijah, which will cause us to look to God as the one who can do a miracle. Here's a third observation from this whole discussion of Elijah's prayer. The prayer we can pray based on Elijah's example. James 5 tells us the prayer that we can pray. James 5, 16 to 18. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Elijah's prayer is used as an example to show us that God hears our prayer and that God does miracles. Now, does he do that all the time? No. Again, that's God's business. But he does it sometimes. And if you want him to do it for you, you got to ask him. And you can ask him with the confidence and with the expectation that he did it for Elijah, and maybe he'll do it for you. Elijah's prayer is used as an example here. We're to pray for one another to be healed. We're to confess our sins to one another. We're coming to God. So, I mean, it says in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I got unconfessed sin in my life, God's not going to hear my prayer. Sin is a barrier that's causing my prayers just to bounce off the ceiling. So I got to confess my sins and get right with God. And in the believing community, there's to be transparency, because sometimes our sins are not just against God, they're against one another. So part of what it's telling us is if there's any sin that is a barrier, that's the reason why prayers aren't being answered, confess that sin so that you're in this place of unhindered fellowship with God, so that you are a righteous person. Now, you know, nobody's absolutely righteous other than Jesus. We're all works in progress. But I think it's safe to say that the person who loves Jesus, who's dedicated their life to Jesus, who's seeking to live by faith, they're a righteous person. And the promise is the person who's walking with the Lord by faith in that kind of righteous personal relationship with God, their prayers have tremendous power. Did you know your prayers have tremendous power? I don't think we realize the authority that we've been given in our prayer lives. Think about, what did Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 16, he said that the gates of hell are not going to stop him building his church, and he's given to us the keys of the kingdom of God, so that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And over in Matthew chapter 18, just two chapters later, he says the exact same thing and applies it to prayer and says, where two or three gather together in my name, I'm in their midst. And when they pray in agreement on anything, I will do it. We have tremendous prayer authority as followers of Jesus Christ. And so by way of reminder, James is saying, look at Elijah. He's just like us. But man, when he prayed, God did miracles. So we can pray and God can do miracles. And in particular, the prayer that we can pray is a prayer for healing. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. God is telling us to pray for one another. In fact, if you look these up, these little phrases in the original language, they're imperatives. These verbs are imperatives. That means it's a command. We are commanded to confess our sins to one another, and we are commanded to pray for one another to be healed. And we are commanded to remember Elijah when we pray. Because our God is a healer. You can't read the Gospels, the four Gospels. You can't read a chapter without coming across across an incident of Jesus healing somebody. There are 27 specific encounters of Jesus healing specific individuals where their name, their backstory is kind of mentioned to us, the particular issue that they needed healing on is mentioned, and then Jesus heals them. Now, because of a lot of repetition in the four Gospels, you see it even more than that. So those 27 encounters might appear, 70 times. But in addition to those 27 specific encounters where Jesus heals people, you have multiple passages of Scripture where the names of people are mentioned, but it's just a throwaway line. And Jesus healed many, and everybody who came to him were healed. And he cast out demons, and many were healed. That's all over. So who knows the number of actual people in the earthly ministry of Jesus who actually were healed? God is a healer. But again, you have the Apostle Paul over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I mean, by anybody's argument, he's the greatest Christian who ever lived. And he had a thorn in the flesh and he asked God to heal him of it. And God said, no, I'm going to give you my grace in the midst of it to deal with it. So there's no magic formula. There's no theological paradigm. There's no statement that can give us the impression that God is obligated to heal us every time we're asking for healing. But there's an abundant evidence of Scripture and personal experience that God does heal. And he asks us to heal. He asks us to ask him to heal. So Elijah's example here is for us, to empower us, to motivate us. Because as a conversation I was having out on the patio between services with someone who was in the first service revealed, he came up to ask me a question, and I so resonated with his question, because his question basically was this: I've been walking with Jesus for many years, and I've asked him to heal me in a particular area, and he hasn't done it. So I don't want to keep asking him, and I don't want to pray about that. I want to pray about other things, because it discourages me and disappoints me. Can you relate? I can. I can totally relate to that. He said, so he said that, and I didn't know what he thought I was going to say. So he built this all up, and he said it, and then had his Bible in it, and he said, so what do you have to say about that? And I said, welcome to the club. But then I said, but I don't think God wants us to be led by either fear or hurt in how we try to live our Christian life. He wants us to be led by faith. But our faith has to be rooted in what the Bible actually says. And the Bible does not say we're guaranteed to be healed if we ask. The Bible says God can heal, and we should ask. And Elijah is an example of someone who asked God for a miracle and God answered. And because he's done it for Elijah and for other people, maybe he'll do it for us. So let's ask him. But we leave the results with God. So Elijah's prayer is serving as an example for us to pray the same way. Let's ask God for miracles. In particular, let's ask God for healing. Let's pray for one another. You know somebody who needs healing emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically. Pray for them and ask God to heal them. Because God can answer the prayer for healing. Here's a fourth observation from this text. It's the prayers elders ought to pray because of Elijah's prayer. The prayers elders in the church ought to pray because of Elijah's prayer. Go back, larger context, James 5, verses 14 to 18. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Based on Elijah's prayer and our understanding that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person can actually accomplish much, elders ought to pray for sick people and anoint them with oil and pray a prayer of faith that God might heal them. So within the local church, there are elders, and in our church here, we actually have elders, and that's the terminology we use. In other churches, maybe they use a different terminology. But in any particular local church, there are spiritual leaders called and appointed by God who are responsible for shepherding the congregation. And God says, in your gatherings, those who are sick should call for the elders and ask them to pray for them. And the elders are to anoint them with oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon person. And the elders are to pray in faith, believing that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he promises to do. And motivated by the example of what he did for Elijah, they should ask that God would heal people. Prayer should be offered in faith. And it promises what may happen, that the sick person will be made well. And if they've committed any sins, they'd be forgiven. And the Lord would raise them up in every way. And this prayer practice of elders is inspired by the example of Elijah, who when he confronted Ahab, he said prophetically, it's going to stop raining. And he prayed for that, and God answered that prayer. And then when he confronted Ahab again, he said, it's going to rain. And God answered that prayer, and it rained. And James, hundreds of years later, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, that was in the Bible for more than just the record of what Elijah did with Ahab. That's in there to motivate us and inspire us, that if God could do it for Ahab, he might do it for us. So let's pray in faith, and let's ask God for healing. So based on who God is and what God has promised, the elders in the church are to be available to pray for people who are sick and to join with them in asking that God might heal them. And here's my fifth and final observation. Well, who else should pray this prayer of Elijah? Well, verse 13 to 18 says this, is anyone among you in trouble? Well, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Well, let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So in this passage it says, when you gather together, you know, everybody's on a different spiritual journey and experiencing a different spiritual reality. And if you're in trouble, if you're happy, if you're sick, if you're an elder, if you know someone who needs to be healed, all of that, all of the above can pray for God to do a miracle and for God to intervene and for God to do what only God can do. So in other words, every person here can pray a prayer to the God who does miracles and ask him to do a miracle. If you're in trouble, ask God to bail you out. If you're happy, praise God and thank him for how he's blessing you. If you're sick, ask God to heal you. If you're an elder, Pray for the people that come to you and ask for healing, and pray for them and ask them to be healed. And if you're aware of somebody that needs to be healed physically, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, pray for their healing. That basically says every person here can be prompted by Elijah's example and pray to the God of miracles to do a miracle. See, when I was in India, I was talking to the director of our ministry partner there, and I said, it just seems that God is doing a lot more miracles here than he's doing in the American church. And he's traveled to America quite a bit. And he said, well, all I can say is in America, if someone gets sick, there's an urgent care, or there's a doctor, or there's a health insurance plan, there's a pharmacy, there's pills, there's surgeons, there's a whole medical establishment to try to help them. In India, if someone gets sick, all we can do is pray. And I started thinking about what he was saying, and I have to make a confession to you. Because just like a conversation I had with the brother out on the patio, sometimes I get disillusioned in my prayer life because I focus on the prayers that weren't answered the way I wanted them to be answered. But in India, they focus on the prayers that have been answered. And because they focus on the prayers that have been answered, it inspires them to pray more and to believe more and to have greater faith. And that is exactly what James is trying to say using Elijah's example. He's saying, hey, I don't care if every one of the prayers you've ever prayed in the past didn't get answered the way you wanted them to be answered. This guy got his prayer answered. That proves that God answers prayer. This guy had a miracle done for him. That proves that God can do a miracle. So get your eyes off what didn't happen. Put your eyes on God and ask him to do a miracle in your life. So we're going to do what the Bible says to do. So we're going to close off our worship time and we're going to pray for people. So if we could have our elders and pastors that are here, if you want to just come up to the front. James says, if anybody's sick, let them call for the elders, and they will pray and anoint with oil and pray in faith for healing. And so we're going to be available here to pray for anybody who is sick with anything spiritual, physical, emotional, psychological. We're going to pray and ask, we're going to agree with you and ask God to heal you. And I want to invite you, as we're in this time of prayer, the scripture says here that we can pray for one another. And so pray for one another. Pray for the people that you see coming up here to be prayed over. Pray for people that you know in our fellowship that need prayer. Pray for people in your family. Let the example of Elijah motivate us to believe that the God of miracles might do a miracle for us. So I'm going to say a prayer now, and then if you could all just stand up right now, we're going to have our worship team is going to be out here and leading us in worship, and it's going to be an open invitation for you if you want to be prayed for, that God would bring healing and deliverance and freedom into your life, to come up and allow the elders of our church the privilege of praying over you and praying with you. Father, thank you for your word and its truth and its promise. And so you did it for Elijah. God, do it for us. Bring healing into people's lives. I believe that you are doing that. I believe in this time there are going to be people who are set free and forgiven and healed. And so, Father, I pray that we might all be filled with the Holy Spirit and expect the God of miracles to do a miracle. And if you're here today and you've never opened up your life to Jesus Christ, you've never experienced the miracle of salvation, that's the miracle you need more than anything else. And all you have to do is call out to the Lord. Just say, God, thank you that you love me. God, I confess that I'm a sinner and I fall short. Jesus, thank you that you died for my sins. You paid the penalty. Jesus, thank you that you were raised from the dead. And just ask the resurrected Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my heart right now and be the Lord of my life. The Bible promises that if you will do that, you can be saved and you can know it. Father, I pray that you would search us and know our thoughts and know our hearts. And if there's any hurtful way in us, lead us into the everlasting way. Prompt us, God, to pray to you and ask you to do what only you can do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.